So I'm going to give you an overview of our climate and health strategy at the Wellcome Trust. In 2021, September, the Trust embarked on a new strategy and approach to investing in science to solve the world's health challenges. We still continue to fund discovery research, but a new way of investing is focusing on solving three of the world's global challenges: infectious diseases, climate and health, and mental health. Our discovery and challenge areas programs are underpinned by a big focus on diversity and inclusion, as well as promoting positive research cultures in the research that we fund. And over the next 10 years, we're committed to spend £16 billion in this strategy globally. So I'm going to give you an overview of what we're planning to do in climate change. This slide from the Global Climate Action Tracker basically summarizes the different types of pledges and commitments that have been made towards the Paris goals, policies and action in the real world, the commitments that have been made towards the 2030 targets for the NDCs, pledges and targets towards the 2050 targets, and then a really optimistic scenario, which includes all announced targets, including net zero targets in different countries. And what it shows that under all scenarios, global commitments to date and policies and action are not enough to meet the Paris goals. So we're on a trajectory to continue with global warming and increasing climate change. So within Wellcome, our mission is to accelerate action and progress towards mitigating against this climate change by putting health at the heart of climate action, and also investing in solutions to help and protect people from the global warming that is already baked into the system. Even if we do meet the Paris goals, the world is going to be at least 1.5 degrees warmer regardless. So we're going to generate evidence to spur action, inform actions to mitigate and adapt, and advocate for coordination and cooperation to help build a healthy and sustainable future. So our strategy has four goals in climate change. The first is transformational advance in the availability, access, and use of evidence on the direct impacts and effects that climate change is going to have on people's health in different regions of the world. So we want to fund research to better understand the mechanisms by which things like increasing floods, fires, and droughts are going to adversely affect people's health. But we also want to quantify those impacts, both in terms of health costs and economic costs globally. Then the second goal is really to support a transformational advance in the generation and use of evidence to identify what are the effective mitigation actions that can help us meet the Paris goals or perhaps even exceed them, but then also at the same time promote health co-benefits in the way that we've heard Chris and Mike are highlighting. The third goal is really an advance, transformational advance again in the generation and use of evidence to identify what are the effective adaptation solutions to help protect people, particularly vulnerable groups and communities, from the adverse effects of health. And then we have a fourth goal, which is really around catalyzing the development of a global community of policymakers, members of the general public, and communities who are able to use the evidence that is generated and understand it in order to drive health-centered action. So this is a broad field-building goal. It includes a goal to really ensure that the evidence generation and research and evidence generation process is developed in standardized ways. So researchers from different disciplines are better able to collaborate together through improved methods, data platforms that can integrate sources of data from different sectors, as well as things like other tools that can facilitate the research process. And I'll give some examples on that later in this presentation. We have another part of this kind of field building objective is really around targeted capability building for diverse fields of researchers, policymakers, and practitioners who are both able to understand what do we mean by transdisciplinary research, so bringing together researchers from different disciplines and policymakers, practitioners, implementers from different sectors to co-create the evidence, identify the priorities together, and invest in the solutions. And then we have a learning goal, which is really around developing a set of metrics to help us measure progress towards achieving the field, whether it's through the numbers of researchers trained, the numbers of policies that integrate both health and climate objectives within them, or general awareness amongst the public and populations around the need for climate and health action. So some examples to bring this strategy to light of early investments that we are making or have already made. On heat adaptation, we launched a call earlier this year to evaluate interventions to help protect people from the excess heat exposure to heat in low and middle income countries, particularly focusing on Africa, Asia and Latin America. That call really promoted transdisciplinary research, and because it was focused on communities who were most at risk and affected by climate change, we required that the principal investigators from these research programmes be based in the countries where the research was taking place and also be nationals of those countries, in order for the policymakers that they were going to be engaging with to basically develop more sustainable relationships with them, strengthen capacity in those regions to be able to undertake that kind of research in future. And also we know that policymakers are more inclined to listen to the evidence when it's coming from their own experts as well. So that's kind of a model of how we're planning to invest in future. This particular call recognised that at the moment capacity to undertake this sort of research is not as strong in developing countries. So we're very much promoting global north, global south partnerships, but really ensure that there's a transfer of skills and expertise during the process. So the countries where the research is taking place are better equipped to undertake the development of solutions for themselves in the future. We've also currently have a call on biological vulnerability to extreme heat in mothers and children, which we developed with colleagues at the Physiological Society, and the other call as well. Also, the meeting that we jointly held earlier this year really helped with that process. And this again is aiming to understand the mechanisms by which chronic exposure to excessive heat in mothers and children actually impacts the biology of mothers and children. And that's a global call, so the researchers can be based anywhere in the world. It's addressing a clearly identified gap, as we heard earlier, in this physiological research space. So it fits with our climate impacts goal that I highlighted before. And then the third call that we're launching this year, which was just launched yesterday, is really a global call, a call focused on G7 countries, which is really aimed at funding transdisciplinary research team to develop evidence which can help advance the adoption or implementation of climate mitigation policies which have health co-benefits. And so those policies are particularly, we're interested in focusing on policies in the food systems, energy, transport and housing sectors. Again, we want the partnerships in this call to be transdisciplinary, bringing together both policymakers and policy implementers or other policy actors and researchers together. So the applications to this call will need to demonstrate that there is a particular policy opportunity that the research project can directly feed into, whether it's an opportunity to adopt a new policy, and the advocates are like, this evidence would really help, or perhaps an opportunity to improve the implementation of a particular policy through, for instance, evaluating a policy to see why it's working and how implementation could potentially be improved. We've chosen G7 countries because of their high levels of historic emissions, but then also their influence globally on the global stage, and the fact that they have a moral responsibility to lead the way. So those three calls I've just illustrated show how our strategy is global in scope. We're aiming to focus on mitigation, placing responsibility on those with historic responsibilities to lead the way in mitigating, but then also adapting and focusing on the countries who are going to be most affected by climate change to help them develop solutions that can protect their health. We recognise there's also a need to support emerging and developing countries to develop more sustainably, avoid the pitfalls that we've seen in developed nations. And so we will also be investing in sustainable development pathways, which avoid locking in carbon mitigation, high carbon ways of growing their economies and developing. And those will be some of the investments that will be coming in the next year or two. And I'll just end on giving some examples of our investments in field building. The first one is we've invested in a group to help develop national statistics improving the ability to track the health impacts of climate change through developing the capability of national statistics agencies and convening the international community around reporting methods and standards. This work is being led by the ONS in partnership with the Cochrane Climate and Health Working Group and other partners in a selection of developing countries to really help improve that process of developing climate and health data in standardised ways so that we can perhaps end up with ways in which we can have international comparisons and better ways of being able to do the research. In the middle is an example of a piece of research that we funded late last year, which is really commissioning the IISD. Apologies, I'm not sure what the acronym, I can't remember what the acronym stands for, but they're a global environmental advocacy group who target UN processes like the climate COP, the biodiversity COP, chemicals and pollution policy processes. And what they did was they looked at the opportunities to integrate health in the global environment agenda. And so it's basically a toolkit for any public health actors or health actors who are interested in ensuring that other sectors whose policies have an impact on health in the environment space can actually integrate health into their priorities. And because a lot of the climate change solutions that affect health lie outside of the health sector, we need to strengthen the capacity of both health and non-health actors to be better able to identify those linkages and develop policies which deliver win-win solutions for both the environment, climate and health. And then the third area of an investment that we have been making since about 2015 is the Lancet Countdown, which is basically a global project that tracks progress towards the Paris goals by tracking progress across 44 global indicators. So that's one way within which we're helping to track the progress towards the Paris goals and how that progress is impacting health impacts. Other things we're planning in the field building space is thinking about how we might develop communities of practice in developing countries, Africa, Asia, and Latin America, which bring together researchers with policymakers to identify what the research gaps and priorities are for those regions and co-develop strong proposals to our welcome funding calls, which kind of meet the transdisciplinary research objectives and priorities that we have. And we're also exploring how we might develop fellowships both for policymakers and training opportunities both for policymakers and researchers to be able to undertake the sort of research that we would like to promote and actually help us all meet our objectives to put health at the heart of climate action. That's a bit of an overview of our new strategy and welcome. We're very much open to ideas on whatever people see as the gaps and opportunities, both in the UK, this is where we're based, so this is one of the priority countries we're going to be investing in going forward, but then also globally. So looking forward to hearing everyone's thoughts. Thank you very much.